You're listening to DraftKings Network.
If you like to make your NFL games a little bit more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. It is the Even Money Podcast. We are, of course, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Love those guys, especially today, because they just recently came out with their season win totals for every single team. This is like a holiday for us here on the Even Money Betting Podcast. We will get to that momentarily. There's actually a crazy amount of stuff to get to. I mean, there's a comment surrounding a draft bet that we must dive into. We've got a couple rule changes, including one that's going to impact scoring. I want to get Fez's thoughts on that from a total standpoint. Then we got everything going on with March Madness and college basketball. I mean, there's a lot to get to today. I'm Ross Tucker, the former NFL offensive lineman. You guys know that. Five teams, 7 years. Awesome temp job in my 20s that I was able to parlay, good word for this show, into a media career that includes having a bunch of podcasts. People love the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It was great to talk with John Kuhn, longtime NFL fullback for the Packers, on yesterday's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. If you are cramming for the NFL draft, make sure you listen or watch YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL, the college draft podcast with Emery Hunt. He is excellent. Of course, tomorrow we will have the Fantasy Feast podcast for those of you that like fantasy football, or for that matter, you like playing prop bets on players because Joe Dolan dominates. We're talking about the fits for the new free agent running backs on tomorrow's Fantasy Feast podcast. Check me out on social media, please, at Ross Tucker NFL. You can always check us out at Ross Tucker Pod. You guys know the deal. If you engage with the show on social media or you rate and review the show and email it to me, ross@rostucker.com, or even make a YouTube comment, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL, your question for the biggest brain in betting, Steve Fezzik, goes to the top of the list. We have like 30 questions from you guys. But if you do one of those things, you go to the top of the list and you get to get the question you've always wondered, that thing you've been thinking about. I just, what if I did this? What if this technique? I wonder what Fezzik thinks about this. He'll answer it right here on the show for you, like he'll do today. That, of course, is Steve Fezzik at Fezzik Sports on social media and at Fezzik Sports, only at Fezzik Sports, only on pregame.com. He is the only two-time winner of the Super Bowl professional football gambling. And Steve, you're the one that was texting me all geeked out and excited about DraftKings releasing their season win totals.
Yeah, so first look at who the sports books think are going to be good or bad, and accolades to DraftKings being first to market, putting those numbers up, virgin numbers. And I can tell you, as a professional gambler, I have this debate with people, and I've always like, well, you know, don't be betting into those numbers. You don't want to move them. You want everyone else to copy, and then you can get more down on it. But conversely, if I don't bet it, someone else is going to bet it. So I want to get me some when the number is off. So there's the question, do I move now or do I wait and hope to get more volume on bets I really like? It's a difficult question.
Ooh, interesting. We'll get into that a little bit more in depth a little bit later in the show. There's a couple things I want to get to with you first, Steve. We'll get back to the season win total stuff. And we'll get back to that. We got to talk March Madness, okay? And NCAA tournament stuff. But I want to start with two things. One is, I saw a tweet from Albert Breer today, okay? And I commented on this. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. I don't know what Albert's just at Albert Breer. But let me read this to you, Steve. Because this is what we talk about when we talk about betting on the draft, right? Bears coach Matt Eberflus says the team brought USC quarterback Caleb Williams to dinner with a few of his teammates. That allowed them to see him interact with peers. Great personality, great character, can see that easily during the dinner. Says they'll continue install at the 30 visit. Each team, Steve, is allowed to bring 30 players to their facility because they want more information from them. Maybe it's medical, maybe it's off the field, maybe they have concerns about the football intelligence. The key word there, Steve, install. That means they're already giving him the offense. They're installing the offense. You install when you're installing plays. So, Steve, tell me why you and I and everybody we know doesn't bet every dollar they can get down on Caleb Williams to be the number one overall pick in the draft right now.
Well, now listen, Ross, I am the king of what they call the bridge jumper bets. Famously, I lost on Purdue as a number one seed and the internet exploded about how stupid I was. But if you can bet something, what is it, minus 1500, it only has to win, 94% of the time to break even. And if it's 99.9%, hey, the draft's not that far away. So if you can have a CD that earns 5% over a 1 month period, it's a good investment. So absolutely, you got to feel it's what would you put it at? 99.9%?
That 99.99 now. 99.99.
Yeah. So absolutely, especially if you're staring at an account and you've got plenty of money in there and you're not worried about running out, the last thing you want to do is to make a bet like that. And then you get an even better bet that you want to make that that pays even money, and you can't make it because you've already shoved all in on a sure thing where you bet a lumberyard to win a toothpick. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I really do wonder, number one, Steve, what the limits are that they would let you get down. And then number two, you know, if they're teaching him the offense – and they don't draft him, then the Bears have a much bigger issue that we need to talk about. If they're installing the offense with a guy that they're not going to draft, that's a much, much bigger issue. But I did want to bring it up, Steve, for multiple reasons. One is it just came out today, that comment. Number two, this is really what draft betting is, isn't it, Steve? Like, I see all these people, there's reports now that maybe the Commanders like J.J. McCarthy at number two overall. His odds to go number two overall went from plus 2,500 to plus 250 in one day because of these reports. So, to which I replied on social media, and I quote, Steve, they must know something, which means, as you always laugh, and they don't know anything. They're reacting to the same news and information that we're getting. They just don't want to be in a bad spot if that news and information is accurate. So draft betting, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, has really become firing and being ready to fire right when the information comes out to be able to have that advantage before they change the lines.
Spot on. So if you want to bet on a quarterback, and I don't understand McCarthy going second because all they did was hand the ball off on every key play. So how can this dude be the second best quarterback? But bottom line is, you're right. If you wanted to bet that, you bet him 20 to 1. You don't bet him plus 250 after the move. So in general, I'm okay with betting after the move the day before the draft. I'm okay. You know, when a dude comes out and he's got tiger stripe, you know, tennis shoes that he's wearing, he's probably going to the Bengals, all right? But when you have a longer lead time, you're really not sure what's going to happen. And in general, basic strategy, don't, if a player goes from 10 to 1 to 2 to 1, don't be betting him 2 to 1 a month before the draft.
All right, here's the other thing, Steve, that we need to get into. The NFL just officially passed. We never have breaking news on this show. It just doesn't happen, right? But the NFL officially passed, 29 of the 32 owners passed this new hybrid kickoff rule, which is essentially, Steve, the same rule that we saw in the XFL last year, right? Where You know, you're going to have the receiving team guys lined up at like their own 25, I think it is. The kickoff team guys at their 35. The kickoff guy is still back further. He's going to kick the ball into what they call this landing zone. It looks very different. It's totally different than everything we've ever thought of. We talk about running down on a kickoff, but here's what's going to lead to. Less touchbacks, more returns, definitely more returns. And I saw where Rich McKay, the head of the competition committee, now he doesn't always know for sure, Steve, how it's going to play out, but they are currently estimating that drives will start, the average starting field position after a kickoff will be 3 to 5 yards better on average. They do believe that will impact scoring. I wanted to get your reaction to it, as well as, you know, whether or not you think that the sports books will adjust early in the season with their totals, and whether or not you think this is actionable or not.
Yeah, it makes sense that it's going to favor the overs. So off the top of my head, half a point to start on the 28.5 instead of the 25 on average. Good rule. I will say this, having watched spring football enough, it is very rare that you have a big return in this situation. Because the reason is the defense is basically set. You've got all the guys on the 35 and the offense on the 25. So it's almost like a play. It's like a wildcat, you know, where you're like snapping, a long snapping to a wildcat dude, and he's running. And in order to break a long run is just so unlikely because everyone has their roles. But I also think offensive holding or clipping is going to be very rare in this situation because by contrast, in a kick return, oftentimes the kick returner's, you know, reversing fields and it messes up the blocking schemes and the like. And really, this is almost always catch the ball and run straight forward. So there isn't a lot of variance in these kick returns, or there wasn't in the spring football games.
You know, I wonder if it changes at all who these teams have returning kicks, you know, and it, because it's a different dynamic now. You can't say running down on a kickoff anymore. You can say standing down there already on a kickoff now. I mean, this is the most visually different aspect of football, probably since I've been alive, to have an opening kickoff where the guys are already standing down there at the other end. I know this, Steve. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. Endless flavor, endless value. Every purchase is backed by their unconditional money-back guarantee. Simply go to omahasteaks.com and shop the semi-annual sale today. Do not forget to use our special promo code just for you guys, even at checkout, to get extra $30 off your order. Save big on delicious, tender, juicy steaks, big beefy burgers, so much more. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code EVEN at checkout. It's just about grilling season, boys. Minimum purchase may apply. You got to be holding something while you're grilling other than a spatula. I recommend Labatt Blue Light. Absolutely delicious. Maybe the best grilling beer of all time. Live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Steve, before we move on, any other thoughts on any of these rule changes? You now get a third challenge, even if you just get one right and one wrong. So there's now a third challenge. The thing that's going under the radar a little bit, and I'm going to talk about this on tomorrow's Ross Tucker Football Podcast, they've expanded what replay assist can impact and look at now, including, Steve, roughing the passer and intentional grounding. So I wonder if this will lead to less roughing the passer calls, because if the replay can say that's not roughing the passer, I don't know. Now, they say right now it's only if it's obvious, but I'm very curious, to say the least, about how this plays out.
You know, that's interesting, because I actually, and I could be wrong, I thought it would be more roughing the passer calls, because how often do we see a guy gets gets clubbed in the head, you know, and they're like, oh, I don't know how the refs missed that. It looks like there's more non-calls than calls, especially amongst the non-marquee quarterbacks where they're just not protected as much. So that will be interesting to see. That's interesting you had the opposite feeling regarding that review, because I think any contact to the quarterback's head, which happens more than is called, has to be a penalty, even if it's not, you know, delivered with force, right?
Well, the rule is now it has to be forceful.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's been, this is maybe the second year where they changed that to say it has to be forcible or forceful contact for it to be a penalty. So if you just glance it or barely touch it, that's not a penalty anymore. Steve, what do we need to know about March Madness right now, NCAA tournament? Your thoughts? Not a lot of upset, Steve. A lot of favorites made it to the Sweet 16. What are some of your takeaways from the first weekend and your thoughts going into the second one?
The world has changed, Ross, in the last 10 years. So 10 years ago, if 15 of the 16 favorites on the weekend had won outright, we would have seen inflation on the late games because the sportsbook would be like, we're getting killed on all these parlays, our liability, and the like. And you would have seen a game like Yale, San Diego State, rise up from 5.5 to as high as 7. So like the poster child, I remember one year, George Mason was playing Michigan State, and Michigan State was a 3-point favorite, and they wound up closing a 6-point favorite late game in the NCAA tournament. And Michigan State ultimately lost that game. But I'm not seeing any inflation with the favorites. It's like that Yale game, San Diego State just stayed -5.5, didn't go up at all. The Houston spread against A&M dropped from 10 to 8.5. So it's a much more sophisticated marketplace in terms of the bettors. And the numbers just aren't moving. Having said that, coaching. We talked about the NFL, the coaching, not necessarily of all the teams being up to speed with 2024 with analytics. My goodness, college basketball, what a contrast. I'm going to talk about two teams. Connecticut, in my opinion, they do everything right. So Hurley, there's 43 seconds left, and Northwestern scores at the end of the first half. They take their time. They finally inbounds it slowly at 38 seconds. The ball's bouncing up the court. Bounce, bounce, bounce. The shot clock is running. The game clock is running. The shot clock doesn't start till Dude touches the ball, which he doesn't do until there's 30 seconds left. So essentially, Northwestern should have gotten a 2-for-1, but they don't because Connecticut's so smart. And the really sharp teams do stuff like this. By contrast, Ross, everyone knows when you're up 3, you foul late. You don't let the opponent shoot a 3. Everyone knows this. The word is out. Yet somehow, the coach of Houston, Sampson, has not gotten the memo, nor has his staff, nor has apparently anyone in the state of Texas. So here they are. They're up 3. 1.2 seconds left. You either foul or you put all your guys, all your dudes. It's similar to an NFL prevent defense on a Hail Mary. Knock it down. You put them all on the 3-point land, and you just knock in the inbounds path. Nope. They just play normal defense. And I'm like, my goodness. I had Houston on the money line in that game. I'm like, I'm never betting them on the money line again because they have no clue what they're doing in a close game. And ultimately, that might be the demise of Houston in the Final Four. But let's not ignore our home court advantages because Houston gets to play in Dallas. So they're going to have the crowd for the next two games. And if Arizona can make the Final Four, that Final Four in Arizona, that is a big deal. Arizona's not good enough to win the national championship on a neutral. They might be good enough to win in Arizona, though.
Steve, I want to do the season win total stuff with you, and I want to get to an email question. So here's what I would tell you about the season win total stuff. Again, kudos to DraftKings for having that out already, which is amazing. We're gonna dive into this in depth, I think, Steve, the next couple weeks, and I'm looking forward to it, really diving in to where we're at on these things with you, because I'm beyond curious to go through each team in the AFC and the NFC. But for now, to whet our appetite a little bit, which of the season win totals really jumped out at you?
You know, let's talk Atlanta Falcons, because we discussed them before about picking up Kirk Cousins and how much he was worth. And I said, he's about a 4-point upgrade at quarterback that's worth two wins. So I said, okay, the Falcons, they won seven last year. Maybe they should have won 7.5. I'll bring them up to 9.5. I was very confident in my number. That's a good number. 9.5 for the Falcons. What's this? The Atlanta Falcons, Ross, are 10.5. So think about this. So the Falcons, who have done nothing for years, are suddenly being valued as the same as the Cowboys, the same as the Bengals, the same as the Bills in terms of their number. Is this really justified? Well, maybe if Cousins was at 100%, but we don't even know that that's the case. We don't know Cousins is going to get a complete recovery from his injury. Maybe you can get some information from Dr. Chow for us. I thought that was a leap of faith. The one number that stood out to me was, my goodness, if you're going to bet the Falcons, I mean, 10.5 is a bridge too far. I would look under the 10.5 wins.
Yeah, their schedule must be very favorable for them to do that. That surprises me.
And it's not that favorable. I took a look at it. Remember, Atlanta's schedule last year was enormously favorable. They're a third-place team, and their third-place teams they get to play are Seattle, Chicago, and Pittsburgh. Those are three very average teams, so their field games are not cupcakes. They're playing against teams that are very capable, so I just don't understand the number.
Boy, that is a lot of respect for Kirk Cousins. A lot of respect, because I don't think it's a coaching thing. I don't think it's anything else. That was certainly one of the ones that jumped out to me. Steve, I mean, we'll talk about it next week or the week after. The New England Patriots are at 4.5. Steve, the New England Patriots, 4.5. I think that might be the lowest one I saw. They might be the dead worst team in the league.
How ironic would it be if after the dynasty that is the Tom Brady New England Patriots, if they follow that up with 20 years of futility and they become the worst team in organization in the NFL? I'm not saying that's going to happen, but they and the Carolina Panthers are the two teams projected to win under 5 games in the NFL.
Unbelievable. Steve, let's get to an email question. We do it pretty much every week in the off season, and I want to get your thoughts on it. We've got great listeners. They love to pick your brain. I learned something from their email questions. This is from William Kennedy. Ross, I noticed some odd math looking at a parlay for the divisional round weekend. Wanted to hear Steve's thoughts. Is this book just mispricing, or more likely am I the dummy? Basically, he felt like he was getting worse odds and a three-leg parlay than he is on 2 4-leg parlays, which the last leg can't push. Why would the books be giving better odds if I play more legs when one of two is certain to win? So I guess if he took Kansas City, Philadelphia, Cincinnati for a three-team parlay, the odds were 360. If he took Kansas City, Philly, Cincinnati, and Dallas, the line was plus 1172, or and San Francisco, the line was plus 590. Given the book is saying San Francisco wins 66%, the expected payout of KC, Philadelphia, and Cincinnati wins is 783 if you bet $100 on each 4-team parlay. Wow, my head hurts.
Yeah, let me address it. So he's playing the money lines. So almost every book calculates the payout on a parlay giving true odds based upon those 4 individual money lines. So it would be very rare that you would have a mispricing based on money lines. I do want to address, never play 4-team parlays versus 3-team parlays in Vegas based on Vegas rules. The reason being the 3-teamer pays 6-1. Warning, here comes a little bit of math. The 4-teamer pays 11-1. So think about that. You risk 100, you win 600, you get 700 back. So if you want to roll that into the fourth game, you're basically risking 700 to win 500. You're laying minus 140 on the fourth leg of your against the spread parlays based upon Vegas payout odds. Bottom line is, never play a 4-teamer that only pays 11-1 or even 12-1. Only play the 3-teamers that pay 6-1.
I think it's fascinating how you always know the math off the top of your head. Check this man out on social media. He's a genius, at Fezzik Sports. I'm merely a former NFL player, at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. Love the email questions. Rate and review the show. Send them me some more questions. Maybe I'll ask your question to Steve next week. Good luck, everybody. Hope you guys win some money.
Thanks for tuning in to Even Money. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.